Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of #IAmRivieraBeach. Hi, my name is Ann Neal, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm very excited every single Sunday to come on and share another episode of #IAmRivieraBeach. Our guest today is none other than Councilman Douglas Lawson, from District 5 for the city of Riviera Beach. I'm excited to be here with my healthy co-host, Mr. Dan Calloway, and that is an endearing term. Happy New Year to everybody. I'm still thoroughly convinced after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell that we are all leaving the diamonds in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds that we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from which we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast #IAmRivieraBeach, #RivieraBeachPride. And every week I enjoy reading for our audience something from Deborah Hall McCollum, Riviera Beach Moments. And today we're going to read and just hear, share a little bit about Archie Davis, business owner. Archie Davis moved to Riviera Beach in 1920. He spent most of his early adulthood as greenskeeper at the Everglades Club on Palm Beach. By the 1940s, his brother, Lindsay Davis, owned a successful bar, the Cotton Club, which is now R.J. Henley Christian Education Center on 28th Street. On the north side of Riviera Beach, Lindsay suggested that Archie open another one on the south side of town. Archie was the owner of Snook's Bar. It was located on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 8th Street in Riviera Beach. The bar was opened in 1946 and stayed open for 54 years. He opened the bar with some of his military salary. He named the bar for his youngest son, Snooks William, who passed away in 1983. Archie is considered a pioneer and legend in Riviera Beach. It is said that you could get the best Friday or Saturday night, and I'm smiling because it was so true. It was the place to be for black people who wanted to enjoy a nice night on the town. Archie owned one of the few places for Riviera Beach blacks population during segregation. Famous black entertainers could only go to black clubs because of segregation laws. People such as James Brown, B.B. King went to the Cotton Club and Snook's Bar in Riviera Beach. Archie Davis was known by his customers as Papa Chew because he liked chewing tobacco. He spent years selling drinks, making loans, and offering free advice at Snooks Bar. He died in 2000 at the age of 101. He was not sure about his age. He joked that he was so old, it really did not matter. And that is our moment for Riviera Beach from Deborah Hall McCollum. And we want to welcome our special guest. Today, Councilman Douglas Lawson was elected to the District 5 seat of the City of Riviera Beach City Council in April 2019, and was recently re-elected by his fellow board members as Chair Pro Tem. Prior to his election, Doug has been aggressively focused on enriching the lives of Palm Beach County residents. For the past years, he attended Suncoast Community School and Sorry, just bear with me one second. I've got a little noise in the background. My apologies for that. He attended Suncoast High School and furthered his education at the University of Central Florida. Furthermore, Mr. Lawson went on to have his own businesses, one being Lawson Solutions and the other called Infinity Taxes and Beyond. Having been an entrepreneur most of his life, Mr. Lawson knows what it is like to obtain wealth and lose it all. He devotes his time to helping families learn the power of being wise with money, time, and resources. Mr. Lawson believes that empowered families equipped with the right generational wealth tools are the key to a healthy society and legacy. And so with that, I want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Dan Calloway, and also Douglas Lawson. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you both doing today?
Yes, wonderful.
Wonderful.
And Mr. Lawson.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, Brother Calloway, Ms. Ann McNeil. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And this is a woke up with just joy and blessing on my heart, and I'm so honored that I could join this call and participate this first of the year with you two, two juggernauts of our community. So thank you.
Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed your vacation, you and your lovely wife. I think it's old Christmas or wherever, but I think everybody should have a little vacation during the last month of the year. And so you can start off January ready to go. And I know you are ready to go because some of the things that you told me at the senior citizen dinner on the 15th of November when we had all those people and you brought a message before the messenger brought the real message. And, of course, that turned out wonderful. But I know you said that you wanted to get with me a week later, but I found out you were gone. But pretty soon you'll get with me, and I'll share what I got to give you. But today we're going to talk about two or three things that you asked and you gave the Youth Recreation a directive that you want to do something with that. But before I get into that, every Sunday when Ann McNeil quotes something from Deborah Hall's McCollum book, and I grew up with the Davis, we call, of course, him Uncle Chew. And Aunt Sis, his wife was Aunt Sis. He had those three boys. Most people only know Tut and Snoot, but the oldest brother was Sonny Boy. Sonny Boy was an outstanding baseball player in the Negro League, and then he was drafted in the Army, and he went to California, and he never came back. The thing I think that we should do with those old-time business in the new business, we need to have like a Black Business Hall of Fame. And now why is that important? Because if it hadn't been for the Cotton Clubs and Snoops and the Sunset and the Dunes and places like that, where would we go in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s and the late 60s? Because it wasn't integrated back there, and we needed some kind of entertainment. And you, as one of the leaders of the council, that 75 to 80% of the people in Riviera depends on your leadership, and I must say that because I get a lot of calls, and the first thing they said, would you talk to Mr. Lawson, our councilman? I said, what about the rest of the council? He said, no, we need to talk to Mr. Lawson because he always seemed to get it done. Now, how do you feel about... Of course, it's too late to do anything for next month, which is Black History Month, February. But put all that together, next year in February, you should unveil a lot of things like that because that's part of our history. Now, are you willing to put a little committee together and we get these names and get the most of the people who you're going to be dealing with who started their ancestors may be here or whatever. We got enough knowledge in how to find some pictures and make that. But I need to find out, how do you feel about that?
Mr. Calloway, I think that we have to put together and to make sure that we gather all of the knowledge and history of our past and make sure it's documented, make sure it's outlined, and make sure it's shared with our community. Ms. Ann McNeil told me a long time ago that she needed to get you in front of a video camera, a microphone, and a stenographer, all of that amazing history inside of you to go ahead and to share with all of the people for generations to come. That's where this podcast has continued to excel, because we have the opportunity to hear from the great Mr. Dan Calloway, who even just a small percentage, we haven't scratched the surface on the stories that you've shared with me and the people that you've loved and touched over these years. So Black History Month, and as you remember, we did with Senator Bobby Powell, with Mac Bernard, and you kicked it off where we started a podcast and we interviewed leaders from the community with the great Ms. Addie Green, with the great Ms. Ann McNeil, with the great Mr. Dan Calloway, to be able to showcase what we've done and where we've come from and where this great 100-year history has derived from. So we have to be able to provide that. And I think that Black History Month, we need to go ahead and bring back that podcast to share all of the knowledge and information with our community, to make sure that they know where they came from, to make sure where the foundation was laid, to see where we can actually go from there.
Well, the reason why I brought that up, because we should never bury our history. And I remember that. And, of course, you can never forget Malcolm Cunningham Sr. and his family, because he was the first Black elected official back in the 60s and middle 60s. I think that you said in the last meeting we had that the city of Revere Beach going to join in with the county and building a new school and part of a new building, like a new auditorium where we're going to have more room when a hurricane come in for the people who are out there in places that need to have that type of shelter. Well, when you build a building like that, you need to put a room. That's your Hall of Fame room, a history room where they can see the plaques, the write-up behind. It's just like going to the Football Hall of Fame or the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Palm Beach County Sports Hall of Fame. You can go and read something about that. I think that when we stifle our history and don't teach that, that's a misservice that we're doing, especially for the Black race. Now, of course, when it comes to elected officials, you're going to have to go through that time with some other people who was instrumental in doing some things. But I think that if you get that approved, and it doesn't cost much because you're going to start pretty soon, and then we keep all that stuff in the archives, and then with the new building, and just like you explained to me what it's going to be like, the kids at Washington Elementary, Bethune Elementary, John F. Kennedy Junior High School, and all those schools like that, and the kids who are going to Dwyer, Palm Beach Garden, whether the middle schools and the high schools and Palm Beach Lakes, we need for them to know about their history. And that's one of the things that we have failed, because I don't think they teach Black history in the classrooms like they used to. But it's incumbent upon us to do that and teach our own. Now, you're right. Saying you've brought that. Now, what is the next step? Do you have? I know that Trodrick McCoy will automatically be there, because when you were talking about, that's his uncle, his great-grand-uncle, because Uncle Chu, which we call him, his brother was Lindsay Davis Sr., and Lindsay Davis Sr. is his great-grandfather, because his mother is Lindsay Davis Sr., third daughter. She was a twin with Willie Bowleg, Willie Mae and Willie Davis. We call him Willie Bow. See, all those things, and you're right about me. I need to do this now because I'm 84. And when my mind is still strong, and I think we're going to keep that, but my body's not as strong as my mind, so we need just to get this on record because there's no one who was born and reared here other than the two Davis, Charlotte Davis Paul, the oldest daughter. She was born in 28, and she's 10 years older than me because I was born in 38. And then, of course, Willie Mae, she is the second oldest girl. She's 3 years older than me. We have to do this. And if you're saying you're going to handle the political part about it, then in the, since it's the first of the year, that'll be one thing that we will start working on. Because you know the last Sunday in February, you own program at the event center down at the marina where we are having our Black History Banquet.
Yes, sir.
And that's our 57th year we're doing that.
Yes,
we are honoring quite a few people. Now, let me ask you this here.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a new thing. But you came up with the idea in conversation, and we have already instituted that, and we got the first month, which is January. We're not going to announce the name, and we talked about it on the radio here, to give senior citizens. We got a committee talking to a senior citizen over 75 years of age with no pension. They had the type of jobs like the gardeners, the maids, housekeepers, the caddies, and so forth. So nobody gave them a pension. So now they're only getting the Social Security, which is not much. And the cost of living is so much that they can't keep up. We agreed with the Youth Recreation to get two people every month and give them $1,000 apiece. And the last 2 weeks ago on this show, Alfred Shipman was on the show. And he said, Mr. Calloway, why don't you mandate when you give them $1,000, they use it to pay their taxes? Because I didn't know this. They are taking a lot of Black people home because they can't pay the tax. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a touchy thing. But I have a meeting with Virginia Baker, the county administrator. And then I've already talked to, I was waiting for you to get back. I've already sent a message to the director of the Urban League, Patrick Franklin, that when I set a meeting up with the county commissioner and to see where we're going and what is the law, can you put it off and not take the land and give us a chance to pay it, I don't want them to lose the house. I just don't know everything now, but I got to start with Virginia Baker. And actually, she has a meeting, I don't know, is it this Thursday or the following Thursday? I think it may be the following Thursday because she's on vacation herself. But when I was told that you were out of the country or something, mm-hmm. I said, mm-hmm. I really don't want to go and fight that battle without having my sword. And my sword is Douglas Lawson. Are you going to be able to go when I set that meeting up to work it around your schedule? Because we need to have some powerful people in the political arena. And you were the number one. I told you that 1,000 times. Now,
yes,
all you have to do is say you want to be a part of that committee. And then when I tell Virginia that the individuals that we'll bring, see, we'll go before her first and discuss a lot of things because she's calling on us to help her all over the county, and she's been really doing really well. I can tell you that right now. But I couldn't wait till you get back to tell me you want to be on that committee. and you will be the only elected official from Riviera there. I can tell you that right now.
Well, Mr. Calloway, you touched on so many different things. I just wanted to kind of address them accordingly, because the first and the foremost was that you've groomed and you've trained so many young soldiers to be a part of this Army for so many years. And I'm one of those recipients of the training and the education and the love. Because our very first meeting, I know you remember what you told me when you said, I have to make sure, Lawson, I take care of the least, the lost, and the left out. I have to focus on our citizens and our youth, because that is our community that is needing the most. And that is what I've made a mission to do since I've been elected and sat in that chair. Because my position as an elected official is I'm just a servant leader. All I'm supposed to do is serve the people and do what the need of the people has. For your entire life, Mr. Calloway, that has been your mission. So we can only just kind of, you know, pray to stand up to a portion of what you've done for your 80-plus years of life. So your 83 years that you've given, we have to look and say, okay, what can we do as a community? So far, to address some of the things that you've discussed, is we as a city have just allocated $500,000 to the Reclaim program, to our CDC program, which is run by Anita Jenkins, and our first-time home buying program. So we have dollars to help residents, current residents, and homeowners, and create new home ownership. Because in Riviera Beach, we have the lowest average home ownership in Palm Beach County at about 17%. Of the total population, which means that majority of the homes in Riviera Beach are rental properties or absentee owners or individuals from overseas. So we have to focus on the families that are here with assisting them with the properties they have so that they don't have to sell if they get into a financial bind because of taxes or because they see that some dollars are being offered by investors. So we're assisting some of those homeowners with actually providing some dollars. We're also coupling, because we've had that meeting with Virginia, in regards to matching some of the SHIP funds that they have with the first-time home buying program that we have to create that homeowner vehicle. And I told Ms. Anita, I said, listen, I need those $500,000 in the street, so by March, I can go ahead and request from our council to double that and to add more money to create more home ownership and to protect the residents and the seniors that have their properties now. So I will be sitting down with you when you have that meeting with Ms. Virginia so that we can figure out how to couple the dollars that the city's allocating with the county resources to make sure we protect our residents and we increase the home ownership. That's the first thing. The second thing is the programming that you talked about for February. I'm honored to be on program at the end of February for your annual banquet, and thank you so much for allowing for me to continue to participate and represent the city as what we move forward with. And the family vacation was so necessary because it gave us an opportunity to recharge, to refill our cup, and I'm ready to get to work this new year, because one thing that I've noticed is you become so weary over the years with filling everyone else's cup, with pouring out of your own. And if you don't refill the cup that God gave you with your family and the ones that's closest to you, you'll be no good for anybody else. So this trip was something that kind of got me, my daughter, my wife, into a position to where we say we're going to come into this new year very strong. And first meeting I'm going to have is with Mr. Calloway to discuss what's our next steps for this coming first quarter.
Beautiful. Well, let me say this here. And there's a little rumbling about who's not going to leave their job and come and be the kind of commission in Mike Bernard's seat because he's term limited. And, of course, Bobby Powell called me and told me he was going to throw his name in there because he want to come back and be full-time home.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Rouse, who was on the program about a month ago or whatever, he said that he want to be in there. And that's two excellent candidates. And when you, a year ago, you had Bobby Powell, yourself and some other ones, and I would try to, we were talking about the 100-year anniversary of the city. That's when you were taping something and you said, we need to get this here and keep building on it because we don't want to ever lose our history. And I really thank you for thinking so far ahead. And you and I had a one-on-one conversation. You told me your 10-year plan. You said you was going to give the next 10 years to Riviera, and then you will move either to Washington or to Tallahassee. And I concurred because I told you even before you said that, one day you would have to leave us. You would have to train three or four people to take your place, because training one person, they're not going to be able to do what you're doing. You got to have three or four.
Yes, sir.
You got to go to Washington. It might be your travel may start in next in Tallahassee, but because it's so many things that happen in Washington that Elsie, my personal friend for a million years, when George Rogers brought him to me in the 60s, we were very close. We must have somebody who can stand up, speak out, and carry out where we are, where we're going, and where we should be, because we are way behind. Now, I don't want to get into that, because you told me that you're going to give the city of Riviera Beach 10 years. Now, is that what you said? I need the public to hear that.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I said. And actually, to put some context to it, we have term limits in Riviera Beach now. So when you have great leaders that are doing an amazing job here, we're limited to three terms, which is 9 years. So I have a remaining 6 years to give in regards to my current seat. At that time,
okay,
my mayor will be termed out at that time. And if given the honor and the opportunity, I'd love to serve this community as the mayor for the time that they would give me at this juncture, to allow for us to continue to build a network of leadership. And you touched on a great point. Succession planning is something that's vital in our community. So I have young leaders that grew up in this community that I'm training. Miss Anita Hester's daughter, Kiera Hester, Javarius Jackson, Miss Pat Ansford's son. And some of those are the ones where we have to create, the same way that you did, an army of leaders to be able to take us into the next coming years, into the next years of leadership, the next generation, and make sure that they can actually learn from what I've done. Because if I receive all the accolades, if I get all the support, and I don't pass anything or any training down to anyone else, I have not done my job to continue to provide for succession planning, leadership, and continuity within our government, within our community, within our people. So that is my mission for these next 6 years, is to create amazing policy and to train leaders to take over from where I'm doing, so that when God blesses me with the next opportunity and puts more onto my plate, I'm able to say, okay, young soldiers, I need you guys to get to work, because now we have a mission to accomplish that Mr. Calloway started 83 years ago.
Well, I'm so impressed with your status right now, where you started, and I've always said you're the best we have. We have some outstanding people because you're training. You got in with the workforce. We were putting together a tree where we get certain people in certain trades, because everybody's not going to go off to a 2 or 4 year college.
Yep.
So we got to make sure they are trained properly so they can get. If you don't give people a chance to work and make a decent living, they're going to turn, and we will never stop the crime rate, because 9 out of 10 people out there selling drugs, robbing people, they think they can take the shortcut. And the shortcut is to steal, rob, and sell. And that's no good, because you're going to end up in two places, either the jail or the graveyard. So you also talked about, what are we going to do with the youth academy in training people on how to be young men and young ladies? Now, of course, I have some people working with that. But sometimes we got to hook them up with some people like what we do. And I told you this on the 27th of November, right after the Thanksgiving. When we got through feeding everybody for Thanksgiving, that Sunday, Audie took 50 kids and 5 chaperones to take 55 people to the Miami Dolphin game. And people said, you've been doing that ever since we talked about this on the radio 2 weeks ago with Alpha Shipman, because he was one of the first way back then when Percy Lee was over the Urban League. I said, it's not so much I want them to be a professional football player. I told the kids, don't worry about being a professional football player. Be the person that owned the Miami Dolphins. See, I think that we think that our only avenue out of poverty is through some entertainment, an athletic performance. No, no. Educators, business people, and then look about our leader here. She's the first black construction owner, builder in Palm Beach County, in Riviera, but in Palm Beach County. Because she built, 16, 17 years ago, she built the West Palm Beach Police Jail, the building there. Now she's building, under your auspices, all these fire stations, which people coming from all over the world, it's been on the news, they want to find out who built it, who designed it, can they do this and can they do that? And then you are part of that. I'm only just giving a highlight. And I think that when you get 84, putting in 85 years of age like I am, you blessed me with 83. But I'm 84 going on 85. The thing about that is to see progress, because 25, 30 years ago, nobody would ever think you were going to have a black woman born and reared here in Riviera and gone off to school, got everything she needed, and doing well and thought enough to come back and start building in Riviera. I told you, I bet you 20 times, and you told me, Mr. Calloway, I got it. I said, we can't afford them not to have a person who, in this county, in this city, and got the aptitude and the certification to do anything if we don't give them a chance. We must give people a chance, because that's what we are. We always give people chances. That's what happened when we had no blacks in council. When I sat there with Herman McCray, Don Wilson, Claude Martin, and some others, and said, enough is enough. We got to have better leadership. Now, before we get off the air, you've given so many things. I just need you to expect a lot of things coming to you, because a lot of phone calls was asking, when will you be back? Because there was a lot of senior citizens heard you make remarks before Ann McNeil gave that outstanding, it was more than the speech, it was teaching, where everybody can do this and go here and get that. And the main thing about it is, I think the last weekend in March, we're going to have that many, maybe twice, have a 300 in there. We're going to have a church. I'm waiting for the recreation director to give us the Dan Calloway complex, the park. We don't need the inside building. We're going to have a family and friends picnic with the churches and the senior citizens on that Saturday. And then we'll go to one of the churches and be with the youth recreation that Sunday. I needed for you to get back to understand in your conversation, I'm that far ahead. You know, we got February covered, we got March tentative, and then we got something big for the city in April. I don't want to say we got it until I talk to the recreation director, because somebody might be have already signed up for that time, and I don't know that. But over the weekend, in the last 4 days, I put that together. As the person that been a part of the youth recreation for the 8th of this month, it'll be 59 years, I have to put programs together at least 6 months, 4 to 6 months before it happened. Because of, I don't know whether, if I say we got it and we don't have it in writing, and then what is the cost, and especially with food. But there's three churches right now have volunteered to do a lot of cooking and do a lot of things and to join in. And I think that what we got to do And you and I talked about that. We got to get the churches in Riviera and Palm Beach County more visible and doing more. See, that's why that acronym on the shirt helped. That P stand for the pulpit and the preacher. And that H stand for homes. You talked about teaching the people how to take care of their homes, keep it up, and that's why I brought up about that tax thing. We can't afford that, and I'm glad that there's money maybe put, and we can have the government with the county in Riviera, and you own the ball. If you get with the county and you get with Riviera, you can do a lot. And then who knows? Palm Beach God may throw some in West Palm Beach. I don't know. We got to try. So before we leave, where's the fierce leader? And I want the world to know, we wouldn't have this podcast if it wasn't the brilliance of Ann McNeil. This is her baby. And she was wise enough to select me at the very beginning to be a partner along with Steve White, and the three of us was a guest host. And I've been trying to hold my little end up all the time. Ann, are you ready?
Absolutely. We want to give Congressman Lawson. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what he is.
You see, speaking the same. Speaking the same.
Listen, that other book says that without a vision, the people perish. And so we have a major visionary with the IES is on this line, and I have to give a shout-out to Artie. He's here, always here. Artie, I tip my hat to your brother, man. You are truly just a bomb, so just want to give you your kudos and let you know how much we really appreciate you, too. But I would like, if you would, Mr. Lawson, if you want to give us your closing comments, and Mr. Calloway, and then we can go ahead and wrap up to thank both of you for all that you do for all of us, because teamwork still does make the dream work. And I know we're all humble servants working in this vineyard, laboring, not looking for anything in return but life, health, and strength to just continue to pray for guidance every day. And so if you have, you know, if you have a any closing remarks. And when we wrap up, I'm going to read something from Augmentino, one of my favorite authors, and it's actually a prayer, and I'll read that closing prayer when we're ready to close. So either one of you want to give your closing remarks?
Well, Ms. Ann, I just want to first give honor to the master builder, Ann McNeil. She sat me down in the restaurant a few years back, and we talked about building wealth and equity in our community. And what that looks like is making sure that we provide and protect the amazing resource and gem that is Riviera Beach. How you do that is by empowering the people of the community, providing opportunities, trades, business ownership, leadership. If our city is spending close to $200 million a year in regards to our utility district, our CRA, and our city budget, why can't those resources be put back into the community of people that are paying taxes in the community, that are raised in the community, that are literally, that have given their blood, sweat, and tears to this community? So when I spoke with Ann McNeil, I made a commitment to make sure that we provided for the residents and the people from Riviera Beach using the capital and using the resources of Riviera Beach to help them. And that's what we've done. And Ms. Ann has done everything that she has committed to doing when we spoke. She honored her word of providing opportunities for people from this city. And that's why I'm honored to see that her leadership and direction is being a woman of her word and honestly living up to that. So that's where this new year and my resolution is to continue to let my leaders lead by example that have laid this foundation and follow the path that they put in place, because they're on to something. They're on to some greatness for the city. And these next 100 years of Riviera Beach is going to be the best and the brightest that any community or any city has ever seen. So, Ms. Ann, thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do. And, Mr. Calloway, I cannot say anything besides I love you, and we as a community love you, because you are the gem of Riviera Beach. So thank you both.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that. But my closing remark is that my prayers is simply this, that the Lord guide my ability and my feet, my mind to keep doing what I try to do all the time, is to serve his children. The least, the lost, and the left out should not be least, lost, and left out. They should be a part of the party, having fun, enjoying, going off to school. And there's a new coming of people who want to help because of we've been getting messages. Every time a hurricane like went over there and destroyed Ivan over in Fort Myers and Naples, and the one came after that, flood and everything, and look how cold it is, and all the people over the country are dying because of no electricity, because of the heat is gone. That's a message, because we have been a bad people. Look what Russia is doing. How can God be pleased when man is keep on destroying man? We got to do better. And then that's why we got to have our churches. And I keep bringing that up because they are the leaders. I will never go against the pastors in the churches because that's the way I was trained. But if they are not doing their job, we must tell them they got to do better because they know better. I just hope that everybody have a great year, because this is a wonderful time to get on and do something for mankind. God bless everybody.
All right. Thank you both. Thank you. And Artie, I'm not sure if you want to come off mute and say anything before we wrap up, because I do want to give you an opportunity. Unless you have anything you want to share before I give this closing prayer.
No, I just want to say that I'm just honored as far as podcasts and all the things that we're doing, we're just going to continue to do and just follow. We'll keep everybody updated on what's coming up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so very much. All right. I'm going to close with the prayer that I actually I read this every day, and I just thought that the beginning of the year would be a good time to share this. And the prayer is from the book entitled The Greatest Salesman by Og Mandino. And he basically says, never will I pray for the material things of the world. I am not calling to a servant to bring me food. I am not ordering an innkeeper to provide me with room. Never will I seek delivery of gold, love, good health, petty victories, fame, success, or happiness. Only for guidance will I pray, that I may be shown the way to acquire these things, and my prayer will always be answered. I pray for guidance, and I pray as a salesman in this manner. O Creator of all things, help me. For this day I go out into the world naked and alone, and without your hand to guide me, I will wander far from the path which leads me to success and happiness. I ask not for gold or garments or even opportunities equal to my ability. Instead, guide me that I may acquire ability equal to my opportunities. You have taught the lion and the eagle how to hunt and prosper with teeth and claw. Teach me how to hunt with words and prosper with love so that I may be a lion among men and an eagle in the marketplace. Help me to remain humble through obstacles and failure, yet hide not from mine eyes the prize that will come with victory. Assign me tasks to which others have failed, yet guide me to pluck the seeds of success from their failures. Confront me with fears that will temper my spirit, yet endow me with courage to laugh at my misgivings. Spare me sufficient days to reach my goals, yet help me live this day as if it were my last. Bathe me in good habits that the bad ones may drown, yet grant me compassion for the weaknesses in others. Suffer me to know that all things shall pass, yet help me to count my blessings of today. Expose me to hate so that it be not a stranger, yet fill my cup with love to turn strangers into friends. But all these things be only if I will. I am a small and lonely grief, clutching the vine, yet thou hast made me different from all others. Verily, there must be a special place for me. Guide me, help me, show me the way, Lord. Let me become all that you planned for me when my seed was planted and selected by you to sprout in the vineyard of the world. Help this humble saleswoman, salesman, guide me, God. Thank you so very much, everybody. Those are the words of Ognandino's prayer. And I pray on behalf of Mr. Calloway, myself, Artie, our guest, Councilman Lawson, and all of us, that all of us have a prosperous and healthy Happy New Year. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you next Monday, same place, same time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.